Well, we're going to have the reading from God's Word, and Beryl, thank you very much, is going to come and read Psalm 46 to us. Psalm 46, Church Bibles, page 570.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Well, Nicola and I are in such a season of life that coming back from a week's holiday recently means walking through the door has kind of gone from, home to, home. It's not always the case, but you know that feeling when life just hits you and you can feel the pressure of all the things to do, all the burdens, the problems to tackle, the scheduling, the contacting, and all the rest of it. Well, it's this time of year, isn't it, where many people try and address aspects of life that they want to improve, things that didn't go so well or aren't going so well. So, of course, Christmas comes late for gym owners, as many people have a health push to get in shape physically. Exercise is not for all. But most people at least have a little think at the beginning of a new year about changes they'd like to make, because the new year is a kind of natural time, isn't it, to have a fresh start. And if you put some plans in place, if you've started something, great, good luck to you. Apparently, if you make it past mid-Jan, you're doing well, because they tend to not last, don't they? But I really want, and I want us to want, this series for the next few weeks to be so much more, not just kind of 4 steps to a six-pack or 3 months without sugar, but the aim is we kind of step off the treadmill for a few weeks, go beyond the fitness, beyond the flab, and delve into our souls, into the immaterial part of us, the spiritual. That is what makes us who we are. That part of us which shapes our character, our emotions, our consciousness, our personality, our psychological structure. That which gives us meaning. That part of us which is eternal. Our souls are hugely important. Of course, it's not that our bodies are unimportant. Far from it. One of the problems in the early church was that they were, some of them spreading around, that kind of what we do with our bodies doesn't matter, which became an excuse for them to just do what they liked with their bodies. Well, that's of course not the case. What we do with our bodies matters greatly. They're so important, God will give us a new one. Our problem today is kind of goes the other way, doesn't it? That we spend too much time and money, generally speaking, on our bodies and often neglect our souls. So for 4 weeks, we're going to have a topical series on the soul, a soul detox, if you like. Firstly, we're going to look at being still. So today's kind of assessment, analysis week, how are we doing in life kind of thing. Then being free, shaking sinful habits, being healed, weight loss week, and being clean, kind of a soul decluttering week. That's the plan. It kind of may sound a bit like 4 weeks of introspection. That's not the plan. We don't exist just to be a better version of ourselves, but to be transformed into Christ's image and to grow. So that we live, so that we speak for him. It's kind of soul work for bodybuilding, isn't it? That's where we're going. Well, let's pray briefly as we begin. Father, you have made us to know you, to relate to you, to love you, to enjoy you, to rest in your provision, to rest in your love. Lord, we pray you forgive us. We so often neglect the most important things. We so often get caught up in so many things that don't really help us, and things, Lord, that we spend disproportionate amount of time on. We pray you'd help us, and help us now. Speak into our souls that we might understand what you would say to us, and that we would live it out, we pray. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, when you ask people how they are, or if you're asked how you are, a common response is to kind of, within that answer, often say busy, or, you know, something like, oh, I'm keeping busy, that sort of thing. And that sort of answer comes up far more often than the kind of answer that says, oh, not doing much really, you know, not much going on. Generally because we are busy, we get busy in life, but also because busyness is a social norm these days, really. In fact, we'd probably find a way of saying we were busy even if we're not that busy, because generally we don't want others to think that we're doing nothing, that we're just, you know, being lazy, as it were. But busy today, for many, is crazy busy. And did you know that hurry sickness is a medical term? Because for many people, their new three best friends are worry, panic, and stress. And symptoms of hurry sickness include things like everything being urgent. You have to get things done now. It can't just be parked. Always being available. Being unable to ignore, you know, texts and emails, this, that, and the other. An inability as well to relax and just do nothing. Because people with hurry sickness find that even in their leisure time, when they're meant to be switching off, they're thinking of all the things they could be and perhaps should be getting on with. It manifests in a struggling with waiting, kind of queuing, makes people walk and talk and drive fast and all those sorts of things. Do we have hurry sickness? Do we have a full-blown version of it? Or maybe just a touch of it? Do you find even when your body does kind of finally lie down to sleep at night, your mind is still wide awake, turning over the to-do list, as it were? Well, ours is a culture today where there is this constant pull to do more things and to be more to everyone as well, to keep up with the texts and the emails and the thank yous and the rest of it. The speed of life is so fast, isn't it, that many people just can't keep up with it, but at the same time, on the other hand, they can't shut it down. It's so mad, they can't cope with the pace, but neither can they stop. And so many people live in this constant state of being overcommitted, overwhelmed, and out of time. What does this all do to our souls? What does this do to our inner being? Well, Kevin DeYoung wrote this book, Crazy Busy. Some of you have it, perhaps like me, though you haven't got around to reading it yet. Ha ha, but it is actually true. But he talks about how, particularly because of technology and kind of flexible working and so on, how healthy rhythms of work, rest and play have kind of become blended together today in society. He says we feel busier because we're constantly flitting in and out between these things, but actually we're hurting ourselves by flattening them. We're never quite working, never quite resting, never doing nothing, as it were. For some of us, when was it that the last time we had nothing to do? And did we do nothing? I mean, probably not. And what's the easiest thing to do these days if you've got free time? Well, it's get a screen out, isn't it? A screen of some sort. Do a bit of research on something. Check a few emails. Do a few work ones as well, because it's only quick. And we go away thinking that's our rest time or whatever. The distinct rhythms that we need so much have often become merged and flattened because we've let ourselves become restless, become constantly on the go. Children have an amazing present opening ability. You may have noticed that over the Christmas period, but they're capable, aren't they, of opening a present whilst keeping an eye on the next present or next presents under the tree, whilst at the same time checking what their brother and sisters are getting so they can compare, so they can check theirs is the best and all the rest of it. And our eyes might kind of roll when we watch children opening presents, but adults, don't we carry on like this as well? You know, we can have the one eye on the now, one eye on what's to come, and we compare all we do with those around us to ensure we're keeping up with the Joneses, as it were. We feel this need to be ultra busy. We're under pressure in this culture today to be ultra busy, and we pass it on to our children as well. I mean, trying to have a healthy family life nowadays is so hard. There's pressures to take them to this club and that club and the other, to be a taxi all week. And we say, well, they're developing great skills, aren't they? Aren't they wonderful skills they're getting? But are they? Are they developing where it really matters? Are we modelling to them the important things, important aspect of life, just taking time with Jesus? Or are most of our homes just too busy, too noisy to be still? Have we got a problem with busyness? And what are the signs we're too busy? I mentioned some earlier. Others, they include patience or lack of, don't they? Patience is one of the first things to go. Irritability as well, being quick to get upset, quick to get angry. And godliness goes, doesn't it? Because our busy problem is not simply a disordered diary. It's a disordered, out-of-sorts heart, isn't it? Soul. Souls that won't be still before God. If some of us keep the pace up that we're at the moment, what will happen? Well, we know, don't we? Apart from all the medical things we know about, apart from the inevitable kind of crash that we will hit if we keep up a relentless pace, we will also miss out on life, won't we? Like a person who's forever behind the camera. You know, they're never actually enjoying the moment because they're behind this camera. We'll miss out on actually enjoying the precious people and the moments which God has given us at that time and the people he's put around us. There's this quote by someone. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. We heard it before. It's a nice phrase. It's a nice phrase. And we won't enjoy the gift God gives us if we're living in such a way that we're overwhelmed by life. If we're always rushing, if we're always worrying, we just won't enjoy moments God gives us. And also, we'll miss out on the life we're meant to be living as God's people. We'll miss out on God himself. So the problem with busyness today is busyness makes us feel important. It's a kind of a good thing to be busy, isn't it? It makes us, or can make us, look good in front of other people because we're getting so much done. But it leaves us ultimately dry and barren spiritually. It leaves us without this inner life of stillness and assurance in God. Before we get on with some things of how to deal with it from God's word, let's ask, how did we get here? Well, technology, as Kevin DeYoung talks about, has largely opened the door to ultra-busy lives. I am not anti-tech. Technology is a brilliant servant, but it can be a terrible master, can't it? And one thing social media has certainly done is highlight the kind of look at me, the self-absorbed problem that is in all of us. And if we're rarely still, if we're addicted to busyness, what kind of heart issues does that throw up if we get below the surface? You know, what does it reveal in us? What are the spiritual dynamics going on in us that mean we allow ourselves to be swept along with the pace of the world? What's going on? Well, we know this world doesn't want to take time with God. So, you know, a state of constant restlessness and of distraction is desired by many because actually, you know, speed and noise, well, that doesn't give me time to be quiet because quiet is eerie for me. It's that sort of thing, isn't it? A lot of people don't like stillness and quiet because actually that exposes the real us. It gives us too much time to think and think about what we're like, doesn't it? It brings up difficult questions. Quietness can. But that's why being still is so important, isn't it? It gives us time to hear from God. It gives us time to reflect, to focus on really important things. Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, Christians. And if we're to live as Jesus' followers, if we are to grow in our spiritual lives, we cannot be letting our souls be overwhelmed by the loves of this world. We've got to get off that treadmill regularly, slow down and stop in the stillness and let God speak to us. Now, some say, well, I just can't find the time. My life is so complicated. It's so busy. If you knew, you know, what was going on, and it is true for some of us, life is ridiculously busy. It's harder than for others in this room today. But all of us, we can find that time. We really try. And we've got to choose to find it, haven't we? For the workaholics amongst us here, we were and are created to work. So the answer to your overwork problem, any of us with an overwork problem, isn't to do nothing, of course, is it? But it's about getting priorities right. Jesus had a very successful ministry, didn't he? But in Mark chapter 1, they can't find Jesus. There's this point. Where is he? Well, he's in a solitary place. And he's not there to sleep, but he's there praying. And they find him and they say, Jesus, everyone's looking for you. It's kind of like, what are you doing? Meet the demands. You're in demand. You've healed loads of people. More people want to be healed. People are loving you, Jesus. You know, why not get back in there? But Jesus says, no, it's time to move on to the next village because I have priorities. And he talks about preaching the kingdom, doesn't he? Listen to this quote by John Ortberg. John Ortberg says, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. This doesn't mean we will never be busy. Jesus often had a lot to do, but he never did it in a way that severed the life-giving connection between him and the Father. That's helpful, isn't it? Eliminate hurry. Jesus was busy, but it never severed that connection. And we must be still. But how do we find rest? How do we find rest? Well, we stop. We stop, don't we? Not just by being physically still, of course. Not just by taking a walk in the country or visiting a spa. But by spending time with God. Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God. So literally stopping and building in times of quiet are obviously very important. But the solution for our restless souls is to, in that quietness, be before the one who holds the oceans in his hands, as we sung earlier, who is seated on the throne. It's time with our Heavenly Father, isn't it? Who loves us, the one who knows us intimately. True rest is in God because he alone speaks and can speak peace into our souls. And he gets under his word by the Spirit, can get under the cause of our restlessness, expose the roots of the problem, maybe the approval addiction that we've got, the unbelief about him, the reasons some of us kind of just bury ourselves in busyness. And he is able to bring not just a temporary rest to our souls, but he's able to bring a permanent, deep, long-lasting peace. But we need to come to him needy, don't we? We need to come with our burdens. We need to come acknowledging, actually, that our restless problem is our problem, our over-busyness. And we need to come, as the psalmist encourages us, to wait. My soul waits on God. And we need to come to God as well, like David says in Psalm 139, and says, search me, O God. Search me. Know me. Look into my heart. Something that has really helped me to slow down over the past few months, literally, was going on a speed awareness course. Now, having driven fairly well for the kind of past 20 years, I thought I'd better have a refresher. So I went on a driving awareness course. No, the truth is I was obliged to. Confession time. Confession time's next week as well. Please come next week. It's back in July. Sam and I got up early and drove to the opening day of Wimbledon tennis. And I got clocked doing 68 at 3:57 in the morning on the Orwell Bridge. I didn't realise there was a problem at the time, but when it came through, of course, I was embarrassed, I was a bit annoyed, I was gutted, I was harangued. No, sorry. But it has been very good for me. I would never imagine how good it's been for me to go on a speed awareness course. And it's forced a bit of soul-searching, to be honest. And if we're people that live in the fast lane of life, as it were, we not only need to slow down, but we need to stop. Kind of pop the bonnet, don't we? Let the master mechanic go to work in us. You know, search us, get to the source of the issue. When was the last time you had an honest conversation with God about your soul? When was the last time you poured your soul out to God? So, God, why am I idling so fast? Is my RPM so out of control? What am I chasing, God? What actually am I chasing in life? Why am I chasing it? What might I be running from? And why am I running from it? Search me, God. Why do I overschedule? Why am I so tired all the time? Why does my mind so rarely switch off? Why can't I say no to people? Why don't I prioritize quiet times and prayer? Why don't I do that? What is it in me? What is driving me? Why, Lord, do I work so hard to be accepted by others when I'm accepted by you? I'm loved by you. In the stillness, we need to ask him to search us. And we do that through his word, don't we? His word shines. It pierces, doesn't it? Maybe it's something we could do with a friend as well, or a spouse. And the result of honest soul searching is a growing satisfaction. Because God satisfies the longing soul. Now, God himself is the soul's desire. God himself is the source of satisfaction. That's something we really need to get, isn't it? He alone satisfies, so we run to him. It's he that whispers peace. It's he who shed his blood for our soul, didn't he? So we are free. So we don't have to chase this and that. We don't have to do that anymore. It's not about that. It's he that causes our praise to rise and go in the right direction. That's to him, isn't it? Not to the other things that we so easily praise if we're not careful. Not empty things. It's he who, regardless of whatever we face this coming year, and some of us will face some really big things this coming year, it's he that can enable us to say, it is well with my soul. It's well. So what's got to change? What's going to change in us? What's the take home for you today? What changes do we need to make so that we do a Mary, as we thought about last year, I think it was, and we spend time at God's feet?